Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the always updated HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Excuse me, call them today, 633-3700. And ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee to you. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And that's a critical element in today's marketplace, given the very, very low inventory that exists throughout the entire country, but certainly here in our market as well. So call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property that's listed for sale here in our town and also across upstate. The local number here is 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve. There's really no better, faster way to get information on a house. If you drive by and you see a sign, there's all kinds of phone numbers and pictures and everything else on the sign. Just look and get the house number. That's all you need to know, provided you know the street you're on. And then just walk yourself through the Hunt Hotline, 631-4800, and you'll have the information right in your fingertips in no time. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. This week, we had the pleasure of listening to the coach of the Sabres, interacting with him a little bit, our leadership team, and he's truly an amazing man. Ralph Krueger is a real gift to our town, and I think we should all be grateful that he's here leading that team, and I know there's great things in the future now that Taylor Hall has been signed, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time for our sports. I wish we could go to the stadium and watch them. Anyway, or the arena. We are broadcast live here at WBEN 930 AM, and if you want to participate in today's show, call us here in the studio at 803-0930. You can text us at that same number, 803-0930. And if you're long distance, you can call us at 1-800-616-9236 or star 930. Those are all free calls. So call us in here at the studio today. We have a very special show for you today. We're taking a look, we have been actually over the last several months, looking at how various parts of our real estate world and everybody's world has been affected by the pandemic and really what the impact is for everyone in terms of their investment here in real estate right here in Western New York. And tell me with that today is one of the leading developers in our community, and that's Rocco Termini, the president of Signature Development of Buffalo. Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you back. It's been a while.
Sure has.
So, you know, I hate to have you walk through this, but take us back to when this whole, when the shutdown really started. And how has it affected your business? Because you've got all kinds of interests. And last time you were on, we were talking about your latest project on Chandler Street. So what's happened in Rocco's world?
Well, you know, residential real estate has fared fairly well in this whole process. What hasn't fared very well is commercial real estate, where you have retail, you have restaurants, you have office space. That is, or you have banquet spaces. Those are real estate entities right now that are suffering. And that's why we need a stimulus package as quick as possible. Because a lot of the companies that are now occupying those spaces won't be here at the end of the winter. They just can't possibly exist. And it's really of no fault of their own. They were closed down by the government. The government has basically put them out of business. And the government has to do something to keep them in business. The hotel industry is devastated. We have three buildings that have hotels in them that we don't run ourselves, but we rent them to vendors that run hotels. And that business is just absolutely devastated. You have no business travelers. You have no leisure travelers. So there is nobody that are staying at hotels right now. And I don't know how soon that business is coming back. Because I think businesses are now looking at, well, we can Zoom and have a Zoom meeting anytime we want, and it really doesn't cost us anything. If we send people to travel to different cities, that costs us a lot of money. So I think there's a whole new paradigm that we're looking at here as far as business travel goes. And I don't know if it'll ever come back. So those are some of the problems that are facing us. And especially in restaurants, you know, the rules are 50%. There is no way a restaurant can continue to exist with only 50% of its patronage. It's just impossible. And you also have all of the outside dining closing up because of the weather changes. You have a lot of older people that even if restaurants are allowed 50%, they're not going to restaurants because they don't want to take the risk. They took the risk when there was outside dining, but they won't take the risk now. So there's many, many, many problems facing not only Buffalo, but the whole United States.
So how much do you think this is a matter of just an incredible level of fear in our society right now, and how much do you think is real? I know you're a student of all things around Iraq. Tell me what you think is really underlying this whole thing. Because you look at the data would indicate that essentially if you can go into Wegmans or Tops, it's not a lot different than going into a restaurant that might be 75% capacity. So what really is the basis of this? We know that the pandemic exists, obviously, but in terms of its actual effect on society, are we overreacting?
I think we're shooting from the hip on a lot of these things. I mean, you can't have a wedding. You can't have more than 50 members of your family come together for a wedding. But they're talking about having 8,000 or 9,000 people being allowed to go into a stadium. What's the difference? What's the difference if you have 150 people in a restaurant socially distanced with a wedding with limitations of 50 people? I think we're overreacting to a lot of these things. I don't really think there's any scientific evidence that more than 50 people at a wedding cause a spread of the virus. I think we're going overboard on a lot of these things. But who wants to be the first one to try? And if it happens, you're blamed for a spread of the virus.
Yeah, we're trying every day, Rocco, just by going into Home Depot or supermarkets or whatever the case might be. I mean, that's there's very little. I don't know who's in there. No one knows who's in there. And who knows where they've been and what they've done, you know, it's or what exposure I'm going to have to them. Yet, and I think Jerry Buchheit's lawsuit this week is indicative of how I think frustrated business owners are today and how arbitrary it may seem to them in terms of these executive orders that keep coming down from on high. So to the extent that your business has been affected, what do you see forecast down the road? I mean, you mentioned that I know you have a strong residential component that hasn't been affected that negatively. But if you look at places like New York City, the residential component has been affected because people are saying, I can't do anything in town. I can't go to restaurants. I can't go to shows. I can't go to museums. I can't do hardly anything. So I might as well just move someplace in the country. Do you see a rationale out there someplace for a more consistent application of these rules?
Oh, I do. And, you know, as long as you follow the rules, you know, you have the socially distancing, you have the face mask, you wash your hands. I mean, that should solve our problems. Allow these businesses to begin to operate. We only have 1.4% infection rate. You go down to Florida, and they're over 10%. And they're operating like there was nothing happening. I think there's two extremes here. You have the Florida extreme and you have the New York extreme. There's something in the middle there that we should all be following. And we're not. We're in New York, we're going overboard as far as restrictions go. I mean, why can't you have a bowling alley open and you bowl on every other lane? Why can't you go to the movies?
Right.
Still can't do any of those things. I think we're being overly restrictive.
Well, they say right now, Rocco, that up to 75% of all the restaurants in New York City could go under by the end of the year. And if you think about it, just what you said earlier about 50% capacity, my understanding, you know this better than I do, but my understanding that if you're not operating at something closer to 80% capacity, you're going to lose money. So how can 50% work?
It can't, and you know, your fixed costs are the same whether you're operating at 50% or 80%. And the other thing that we don't really look at is most of those places are not paying rent because they can't afford to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
And how about all these landlords that have mortgages, and they're going to start being foreclosed on because they can't pay their mortgage. Their tenants can't pay their rent. It's got the ripple effect here that nobody's even thinking of. You have collateralized mortgage-backed securities that are going to all start failing, which is going to affect the stock market. All of these things have a ripple effect. It's not just the restaurant that can't open. It's everything that affects that restaurant. And right here in Buffalo, after this winter, you'll see Hurdle Avenue half empty, Elmwood Avenue half empty. Those are all small restaurants. A small restaurant can't possibly exist at 50%. They were lucky this summer. We had a great summer, and we were able to sit outside almost all summer, which gave them additional capacity. But once the winter comes, it's over. From most of the restaurants in Buffalo, it's not just New York City.
Well, going back to this fear issue for a second, Rocco, I mean, a lot of people just, even if they were open, a lot of people are just hesitant to go. Yet where they have kind of let their guard down, for example, in Florida, what you have is businesses are back up and running. You've got less than 5% unemployment, where we've got over 11% in New York State. And the evidence is clear that people are not going to sit around and wait. They've got to figure out a way to live. And what you described earlier in terms of the cascading effect on real estate more generally, and specifically in terms of various sectors of the real estate market is right out there, and it's not that far off, because even with another stimulus package, all you're going to do is buy more time. There has to be an opportunity for people to get back into some degree of circulation around in society. You isolated earlier that businesses are looking at Zooming as opposed to business travel, And I think that that's a very short-term solution. But I can tell you from a firsthand perspective, there's nothing like being able to interact one-to-one or in a group live and face-to-face. There's nothing like that. And no amount of Zoom, I think, can really replace that. I don't know what your feeling is, but I don't see society going totally to a Zoom thing so that people just stop going to hotels. I think there's going to be a downturn here, what we're obviously experiencing now. But I think when people are able to move around more freely, that they will. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think the same thing about working at home. The big problem is how long can these hotels last with occupancy very low? It's a matter of staying power. If you look here in Buffalo, you're losing three hotels right off the bat here. We lost the Marriott, we lost the Hyatt, and we lost the Adams Mark. There's more coming. And it's a matter of staying power. How long can these businesses last before there's a cultural change and people get back to a normalcy? I don't think it's anytime soon. And that's the big problem. And I think a lot of people have been scared, especially older people, where you have that constant barrage on TV that older people are more susceptible to the virus than younger people. And quite frankly, younger people have no fear. And our restaurants, most of our customers are younger people because they're getting out no matter what. And they're coming to restaurants, but older people are not. And matter of fact, in one of our restaurants, we changed the menu because a lot of foods on the menu were geared to older people. And they're not coming in anymore, and we couldn't sell those foods. So we changed our menu.
As a practical matter, when you're told you can't have more than 50% occupancy, Is that just a spacing issue, how you set up the tables and that kind of thing, or are you constantly counting so that you make sure that in case an inspector rolls in that you're in good shape?
It's basically a spacing. All the tables have to be 6 feet apart. So when you start doing that, you end up with 50% just by following those rules. In one of our restaurants, we put in greenhouses outside so that we could increase our occupancy. We put igloos on the roof so that we are back to our normal occupancy by doing those more creative things outside.
And have the people come back?
And the people are coming back because there's no place else to go. If you look at your options, dining options, there's not a lot of options anymore. What we're going to be left with in Buffalo is Olive Garden, Red Lobster, all the national chains that have staying power. All of these smaller restaurants will be out of business.
Well, I hope anyway, that the other side of this equation, the therapeutic and vaccine side of this equation, certainly is there's life there so that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Just this morning, there was an announcement from one of the pharmaceutical companies that they believe their vaccine will be approved and ready by the end of November. If that were to happen, do we have enough time, Rocco, if that won't be in circulation by the end of November, but let's say it's approved and ready to go and it's at large scale, it's available over the winter. Is that enough time here so that the restaurants that you describe, the locally owned smaller restaurants, have a chance of weathering that time frame in between?
Well, it all depends how government reacts to that. Will local governments relax their restrictions? I think there was just the lieutenant governor on the radio this morning said the state is going to want to test these vaccines themselves because they don't believe the accuracy of them. So does that mean we won't get the vaccines immediately in New York State? There's also the psychological effect on people. There's a lot of people that say, I'm not taking the vaccine no matter what. If that happens, do the businesses in the community get penalized because the infection rate is still up, because people refuse to take the vaccine? There's a lot of questions here. Even though you get a vaccine, is it going to be delivered to the population? How quickly is it going to be done? I think for younger people, they're immediately going to psychologically think that this is over. For older people, I think you're still going to have an effect.
Well, you know, that really concerns me, because it's not just the real estate that's the issue here, which it is for obviously for our discussion perhaps for this morning, but it's the effect on families. And we've explored, for example, schools and going back to school on this show, just because where people decide to live has a lot to do with the school system that surrounds that particular property. But if the school system is no different than any place else in terms of Zooming or whatever the case might be, all of a sudden the location issue kind of doesn't matter as much. So it becomes a matter of how people want to, how they want to live together. And I guess what concerns me as I listen to you talk, Rocco, is that how long can the residential piece be okay, let's say, when the commercial piece around it, or at the core of the community, the retail office, et cetera, how can the residential piece have kind of extended legs while the commercial piece is not doing well at all? Can you see that happening, or am I dreaming here?
Well, I think the education portion of this is going to be a temporary thing. I would think by next school year, kids will be back to school. But one of the other things that you look at, you know, you want to live in the city because it's a walkable community. But do you want to walk down Elmwood or Hurdle and have all the stores closed, all the restaurants closed? I mean, you lose your walkable community if that happens. And quite frankly, they need a stimulus package for these small businesses in order to keep them open. They won't be making really any money, but at least it keeps them open. It gives them a lifeline, and they all need a lifeline right now.
When you come back from the break, Rocco, I'd like you to talk about what you think is really holding up the stimulus package. I mean, let's say, besides the obvious in terms of politics, but what else is really holding that up? Because in my mind anyway, some of it has to do with a calculation, and hopefully anyway, in legislatures' minds, that says something to the effect that how long will we have to do this before we all run out of money? And I guess that's something that concerns me greatly. But we have to go to break right now. We'll be back with more with Rocco Termini after these very important messages.
The West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development, is now open for private tours. Starting at $850,000, each townhome unit features 3 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, high-end finishes, multiple balconies, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, 2-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view the model unit from this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. To schedule a viewing, call exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or visit westendbuffalo.com.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the always updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and if you'd like to know more about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to buy the before and live the after by rolling the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, call them at 633-3700 and ask for details. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment. I mentioned that earlier. And also about our second look program. This is one of the best things I think our organization ever has come up with because you're bombarded, if you watch television at all, you're bombarded with solicitations for this kind of mortgage or that kind of mortgage. And I can assure you that the cost of putting that ad on television is built into that mortgage someplace. And if it is, you won't have that if you deal with us locally, obviously. And if you call us 633-3700, we'll take a look at whatever offer you've received from any other lender, and we'll make sure that it's the very best you're going to get or we'll beat it. And in any case, we're going to give you a gift certificate by just making that call. So 633-3700 for the second look program, pre-purchase mortgage commitment, or even the buy the before and live the after. We are engaged in a conversation here with one of Buffalo's leading developers and, in my mind, a very forward thinker. And in past shows, I've asked my guest to share with us really the way that he's taken a set of circumstances here in Buffalo and really done a remarkable job bringing many buildings back to life. And that, of course, is Rocco Termini, the president of Signature Development. While we were on the break, we got a bunch of texts in here, Rocco, and I'm just going to – I think the sum and substance of them is that this one person who's texting believes that the politicians are, in some cases, enjoying this position of control that they have through the power of executive orders. Because basically it circumvents a state of emergency circumvents the legislature. You can effectively make an order, and I don't know how many the governor's issued, but it's hundreds. It's not just five or six. Do you think that's the case? I mean, do you think our politicians are really enjoying this?
I don't think anybody's enjoying this. There's not much to enjoy. I think there's philosophical differences. Legitimate philosophical differences between people, and you know, some people believe that you know, you need a strict enforcement of policies to beat back the virus. There are some people who have a philosophy where we have to learn to live with this, and we have to open up our economy, and you know, someplace in between there is where we should be right now. But it doesn't look like there's anybody in between. It's either you're on one side or the other side. And I think we need to come to some sort of a compromise in this country.
I think that's true. Unfortunately, a compromise has not been the way of our political class in the last I don't know how many years, but it's been quite a while now. I would say at least since 2008. We have a bunch of callers on the line. Let's take one call. This is regarding this. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Well, I'm just wondering if Biden wins the election, whether there'll be a miraculous relaxation of business constraints, particularly in New York.
Is that a question or is that just a comment? Well, interesting. Do you think that's true, Rocco? Do you think if Mr. Biden wins, that all of a sudden the so-called blue states will begin to relax a little bit and open up their businesses, or will they turn to the government and say, "We need more money for that to happen"?
I don't think you're going to relax the restrictions if Biden gets elected. What I do think is there'll be a healthy stimulus package that'll be there to try to keep some of these businesses open and try to keep people out of the breadline. I mean, there are a lot of people that are seriously hurt and being hurt right now through no fault of their own. They've lost their jobs. And there is no hope for these people to get their jobs back, not anytime soon.
Isn't this kind of a I don't know. The government shuts things down and then says, well, we're going to keep you alive by giving you some money. And then we'll let you know when you can reopen, but we're going to keep giving you enough money just to hang on. Doesn't that create kind of a dependency in our population that really has never been the American way?
We've never had a pandemic either, Peter.
Well, we have. There was a
very unusual circumstance, and you can't penalize people.
No, I agree.
That are in need.
Well, I guess what I'm referring to more is a measured response. I don't know how measured it is when you just say you're out of business. And then, by the way, if you want to go back into business, we've got to hit these arbitrary standards that somebody sets. Until that time, you're done. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to give you some money in the meantime. Yes, we have these. We can't let people go. But and you said something earlier, through no fault of their own. That's true, through no fault of their own. But if there had just been just the precautions put in place that we're all willing to do now, way back when, and businesses were allowed to stay open, say like what's happened in Sweden, would we be in a very different place right now?
Well, I certainly think we would be in a different place as far as the economic conditions of our community. I'm not certain what the health conditions of our community would be. And that's the risk that we're going to take. This is an experiment. Nobody knows. So if we open up the economic portion of our community, does the health portion of our community suffer? We have to, as a community, be willing to take that risk.
Well, I think that's true. It is a risk, and there's a calculation to it. We have another caller on the line. I pressed the wrong button. Excuse me. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Rocco. Rocco, a couple of weeks ago, I talked with Donnie Gallagher on Peter's show, and I posed a question to her. What is she doing to try to influence Governor Cuomo against his failed policy? If you look at Sweden, Peter mentioned Sweden. Sweden's been very successful. There's an article in the New York Times a couple weeks ago regarding the success Sweden has had with their no shutdown policy against this COVID thing. And the governor says he's following the science. I heard Kathy Hochul today talking about the same thing. My question to you is, and by the way, I did talk to Bob Duffy's office. Bob is a former lieutenant governor. He's a president of the chamber here in Rochester. I'm a member. And they refused to back off Cuomo's policies, which I think is not following the signs of herd immunity. Are you willing to put pressure on Donnie Gallagher and others to look at this, look at Sweden's model, and try to get us out of this abyss?
I think there's a lot of politics in place here, and I don't think Donnie Gallagher is going to go against the political will of New York State government. It would put her in a very bad position, and I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think there's anybody that's going to change the governor's mind on this. He's convinced that this is the right thing to do, and I don't think anyone's going to change his mind on it.
I think you're right. And I think the more confrontation exists, the more people dig their heels in. And this is certainly what I think you were alluding to in terms of the polarization you mentioned earlier, Rocco. Well, let's see if we can take a step beyond this, because I don't really believe we can solve this here. But what we can talk about, which is something that I think is important to understand, and you touched on a little earlier, and that's the progression of things relative to the individual property owner that happens if this goes on for a while. Business goes out of business, can't pay their rent. Landlord has obligations to a bank. They can't pay the bank. What happens? And you took it all the way to the stock market. How can that be stopped? I mean, obviously a stimulus package will help keep these businesses alive. But how else, what else systemically do we need to see happen here in the in this interim period of time between now and whenever there's kind of widespread acceptance of a vaccine?
Peter, I think we're in a difficult situation here because if you remember years back, a bank used to hold your mortgage. It used to stay with the bank. There was a local representative. You could go and talk to that local representative and say, hey, look, I'm having some difficulties. Can you give me some forbearance? And you would always get cooperation from the local bank. But that doesn't exist anymore. Your local bank might originate your mortgage, but then it goes to a commercial-backed mortgage security. So all of these mortgages are put into sort of like a bond, and they're sold on the secondary mortgage market. There is nobody to talk to anymore. The first thing the representative from a CMBS says, oh, we're the servicer. We're going to turn this mortgage over to a special servicer that's going to start foreclosures. And that's what's happening all over the country. We no longer have a community of bankers that are servicing our mortgages. So once they start the foreclosure process, it's going to affect the stock market because all of these things, all of these instruments are bought by investors. And, you know, this happened, 25 years ago when we had the collapse of the mortgage market. We're going to be close to that. Again, now, it won't be residential properties, which it was 25 years ago. It's going to be commercial properties. And you're going to have major failures of these commercial-backed mortgage securities.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and we have to go to break right now, but I want you to hold that thought and come back to it. We also have a bunch of callers. We'll be back with more From Our House to Yours with Rocco Termini after these important messages.
The West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development, is now open for private tours. Starting at $850,000, each townhome unit features three bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms, high-end finishes, multiple balconies, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, two-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view the model unit from this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. To schedule a viewing, call exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or visit westendbuffalo.com.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700, and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. You can also find any of our past shows at huntrealestate.com by going simply to our blog. They're all listed there, and you can listen at your leisure. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low rate and closing cost guarantee, and you can reach those people at 633-3700 for specialized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service. We have a very special show for you today. On the air with me, live remote, respecting social distance, is Rocco Termini, the president of Signature Development of Buffalo. We've been talking about really the state of commercial real estate, given the circumstances that we're all living in right now, really throughout the world. Rocco, we have a bunch of callers. Let's take a couple calls. This is Barb from Grand Island. Barb, how can we help you?
Hi, I'm just calling in to give a comment and then hear Rocco's opinion of this, of what I've observed. I have relatives that live in Georgia. I have friends that live in the villages in Florida, and both of those states are pretty much open. School is back in full time, both in Georgia and Florida. Florida's been in school right from the beginning of school. Georgia just went back to school this week, full time. Everything is open. You come and go as you please. Mask wearing, you know, is pretty much enforced, but they have the freedom to make their choice. and the comment you made, Peter, that the government, you know, makes these mandates, blah, blah, blah. I wish people would just say how it is, because government is letting states make choices for themselves. It's Cuomo that's putting all these devastating restrictions on New York State and running us into the ground, and then turning to the federal government and saying, oh, we need help, we need help. So I'd just like to hear your opinion, or Rocco's as well, because I think we could be doing a lot better if we were just allowed to make decisions ourselves, and those who are frail and afraid to go out, they stay home.
What do you think about that? I mean, that's kind of a common sense approach to this whole thing, as opposed to turning to the government for everything. What do you think about that, Rocco?
I think there's some truth to what was just said. But there also is truth on the other side. I mean, if you were in New York City 5 months ago, you know, the governor was looking at what was happening in New York City. And, you know, he's looking at, boy, I don't want to see this happen again. So you could see what his point of view is. But there's also the other point of view that was just articulated, that, you know, we need to open up. And again, there's some place in the middle. And I think that's what we need to start focusing on, that place in the middle, that we, both sides, can see some light at the end of the tunnel.
I don't know how we get there, though, frankly, because it seems like on both sides of the equation, people have just dug in and don't want to listen anymore. Here's another caller. This is Kathy from South Buffalo. Kathy, how can we help you?
Hi. I'd just like to – good show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I just like to say one thing. Insanity, the definition, is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. As long as the people of New York State or New York City continue to elect the people that are running our state now, Cuomo and all the rest of them, that are entrenched there, have been there, it's their whole life, nothing is going to change in New York. Nothing, never, ever. We might as well give it up. As long as that group hold Albany, they hold us. They hold our lives, our decisions, everything that we do, they dictate. We're like puppets. Instead of the country or the state being of the people, by the people, and for the people, it's of Cuomo, by Cuomo, and for Cuomo. He doesn't care about us. Does he really care about me sitting in my kitchen in South Buffalo? Absolutely not. I might as well be an ant.
Well, Kathy, I think she speaks to what the sentiments of lots of people. I'm watching the texts roll in here, Rocco, and they're decidedly, let's say, opposed to the level of, I guess, executive shutdown, clampdown limitations that exist here in New York State. One somebody wrote and just said they were glad they only had 6 months left to live in New York State before they're going to be a resident of another state. So these are not good things. And we all have the opportunity in a couple weeks to make our voices heard through the ballot box. And I certainly hope that everyone will take that opportunity, no matter what their position is on this. Let's take one more call here. This is Cheryl from Williamsville. Cheryl, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you. I just want to comment, the last three callers were terrific. And I think I would say to Rocco and ask him a question. When you say meet halfway, I think we've all tried our best to meet halfway. We wear the mask, we socially distant, so we are meeting halfway. And I also would say that the guy from Rochester that called was very eloquent. We elect, or we vote in Dottie Gallagher, whatever her name is, to help us. Not to be afraid of these elected officials, to tell them what we want. They're supposed to listen to us, okay? So for Rocco to say that, oh, you're not going to get anywhere, No wonder we never get anywhere. We have to change the paradigm and think with hope that we can get somewhere. Thank you.
I think...
I've just got to say one thing. There's a lot of frustration out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've appeared on your show for the last 15 years. We have never had so many people calling in. What was once a real estate show is really turned into a political grievance show.
Well, actually, I'm going to stop you there. That's not our intention. That's not my intention, certainly. And I know it's not yours. But we have to, and you're talking about, and I think spoke quite well to what could happen and is in fact happening in terms of people's investment in real estate. And this is what we're really talking about here, Rocco. And I guess I'm looking to your expertise as you look down the road to try to figure out how and if we can, first of all, survive these circumstances as owners of commercial real estate. And there's many that listen to this show along those lines. And then what the backside of that is, how long will it take to recover? I guess that's really what I'm concerned for. I'd like to hear your opinion of.
Well, recovery is not going to be that quick. I'll tell you that right now. It's going to take, I would think, at least the next 2 years before we recover in this country. And only the strong are going to survive. And unfortunately, the weak are the small businesses that are the backbone of this community. And those are the people that are going to suffer. And those are the people have the smallest voice. And there's not a lot that they can do except try to exist, and it's going to be very difficult. The larger businesses, I think, yes, they're going to incur some heartache, but they will continue to exist. It's the small guys that we have to worry about, and those are the people that are getting hurt. Those are the people that need government assistance. I know there's a lot of anti-government assistance at this point, but these small businesses didn't cause this problem, but they have to live with it right now, and they need help.
Let me ask you a question, Rocco, because we've talked about businesses, small businesses, restaurants, retail, etc. But I don't know. I don't know how much office space you own, but office is, in my mind, the big question mark, because even if everything recovers in the retail and small business area, which represents about 50% of the economy, even if that recovers nicely, will people, in your mind, go back to working the way they were 8-9 months ago and where they were working?
I don't think soon, but I think people are going to get tired of having their dining room table full with papers because they have to work from home. You also lose whatever camaraderie you have with other people in the business that you work at. You also, how do you train people if they're working at home?
Mm-hmm.
How do you take in interns if you're working at home? I think, yes, right now it's a novelty, but I think it's going to turn itself around. It's, again, going to take 2 years. It's not something that's going to happen immediately. But I think people will start going back to work. And I think Jamie Dimon the other day was quoted in the New York Times as saying young people, he said the two most unpredictable productive days at home are Mondays and Fridays. There's no productivity. And what is really the productivity of people working at home? How do you monitor that? And I think companies are going to realize that they're not getting the kind of productivity they thought they were getting.
Well, this is something that obviously concerns me greatly, and I know it concerns you, and it should concern everyone, because how people work is important, is almost as important as where they work, or perhaps more important. People are adapting in some respects. And if you talk to certain professions, they're saying the work at home thing is very viable. The legal profession, for example, I'm hearing from many law firms that there are people working from home, their productivity hasn't changed much at all. Maybe that's true. I don't know, but I do know in our business when people were we were forced to be at home, productivity in our industry went through into the tank. There's no question about that. It was terrible, and it was as much because people, families, didn't want to buy a house without seeing it. And so there was a portion, roughly half, and there was some poll done, roughly half people said they would if they could get the house they wanted, they don't care if they saw it before they bought it. The other half said, I'm not buying anything unless I can see it. And those people waited. And as a result, there was a surge of business in the housing industry over the last, really since June 1st, which has been incredible. And I mean, it's been beyond belief. But the office market is, as you say, that's two or three, perhaps, year out situation. In the meantime, what happens to those building owners?
Peter, I had a major company come to me this week, and they told me their lease expires next year. They're in 30,000 square feet. They're looking for 15,000 square feet because they think that's all they need now. So that gives you an idea of, and it's a tech company, and a lot of their younger kids that work for those companies are working from home, and they're doing just fine. But they're going to reduce their office footprint by 50%.
Rocco, unfortunately, we only got about 30 seconds left here, and I wish we could go on for another hour or so because I've never seen so many texts or calls into the show. There's a bunch of people waiting that we won't get to today, and I'm sorry. I apologize to those people right now, and I'm going to remark where I can back to the people that have texted us. But it's an important topic today, Rocco, and I very much appreciate your insights into this world, which I know you are intimately familiar with. Rocco Termini, president of Signature Development of Buffalo, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.